Revolution today.
Hello, everybody. Kate Delaney with another version of America Tonight. Coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. Here's what we're talking about, fair or foul. $20 million has been spent on signs. Yes, signs. Telling us how the stimulus is working. Ooh, and it gets deeper than that. I'm going to paint the picture for you. BP and the leaky well on day 87. We're going to go there, too. But did you ever play chicken with your gas tank? In other words, how far could you push it until you ran out and then you would get to the station just in time where you would, you know, glide in? And that's all well and good if you decide to do that in your own automobile. But can you imagine that that's being done on an airplane? Can you imagine that American Airlines is trying to cut fuel reserves, and how they're doing that is pushing the needle closer to E? Oh, the pilots aren't happy about this, and I can't blame them. So it's always a pleasure to bring on the show former pilot and aviation expert right here at the top, Denny Kelly. Denny, how have you been?
I've been fine. How have you been, Kate?
Oh, terrific. You know, not so terrific, though, when I read this American Airlines story, because I'm flying American in a couple of weeks. And what is the deal with they're trying to, they feel like this is a cost-saving strategy, I guess, and the way to do that is, I'm putting it simply, but to push it closer to E is what I'm trying to, I guess, make everyone aware of so they can picture that in their mind. But can you blame the pilots for being upset about that?
No, I don't blame at all. I would be more than upset. And the theory that they base this on is that the more fuel you have on the airplane, the heavier it is, the more fuel it takes to fly the airplane. So if you cut down on the amount of fuel, you save money. So it's a money saving method. But it's really, first of all, it's really ridiculous, because when you cut back on the amount of fuel you have on reserve, you reduce your safety margin. You take off out of Dallas and you go to St. Louis, and the weather's fine when you leave here, but when you get to St. Louis, the weather's terrible. Something's gone through, and the airport's closed. Well, that means a lot of the airports in the area are closed. So what do? You got to go to an alternate. Well, with the minimum amount of fuel that you have now, you may not be able to make an alternate, you know, and you really cut it close. And in aviation, you don't want to cut anything close. So it's a problem, and the problem the pilots should be upset about it. It's bordering on being dangerous.
Yeah, as a former pilot, you have to be surprised by that. Of all the things that an airline might do to try to cut back, to cut corners, to charge more for luggage, to charge for food items and pillows and everything else, this borders on insanity, doesn't it? Is that much pressure?
Well, it does. And the thing here, you know, that you just mentioned, you know, those aren't safety items. You know, it's. I fly myself, and you know, I fly all the time now. And you know, you get on the airplane and you don't have a meal, you don't have a blanket or whatever. That's no big deal. I mean, you know, it'd be nice to have it, but you know, not having enough fuel is a real problem. And it compromises safety. Now, I'm not saying every flight, because every flight, you know, you take off and you get there and the weather's fine and you land. Or another scenario is you take off, you get to where you're going and the gear doesn't come down, mm-hmm. or there's somebody blows a tire on the only usable runway and they can't. And the airplane's sitting in the middle of the runway and you can't land. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why you may need that extra fuel to get to an alternate. And of course, all they're saying is, oh, it's, you know, no, it's not a problem. It is a problem, and it compromises safety. And I can't believe that the pilots are going to let it happen, you know.
Yeah, I can't believe that either. And then, you know what, you know this, Denny. What happens is when one airline does something, another airline decides to see if they can do the same thing. This would be not such a great trick for the other ones to pick up on, but I heard from a pretty good source that there's at least one other airline that really is thinking of doing the same thing. Wow.
Well, I'm sure all of them are doing it, because if one of them can get away with it, then maybe they all can. And the problem is the people that are really making these decisions are not really aviation people. They may be executives with a major airline, but they're not aviation people. They're bean counters. They're people that went to school, you know, business majors and that kind of thing. And they don't really understand the aviation business, and they don't understand how quickly things can change. And, you know, when an airplane goes from A to B, you really don't know what's going to happen between A and B. You really don't. And you need plenty of reserve fuel. And here's the other thing about it is if you save a little money, and there's questions about how much you really do save by not carrying that extra fuel, then the first time you have to deviate because you don't have enough fuel or land short of your destination to get more fuel, you wipe out all the money you've saved. So it's really, bottom line, it really doesn't save much money. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to ask you about something else, too.
Sure.
I did a blog on this. In Washington, D.C., apparently, the Department of Homeland Security has advertisements on pizza boxes for TSA security types at Reagan. They're looking for people to fill those positions. And I don't know, there's just something laughable about that when I think of all the times I go through security. Denny, please tell me they're not doing that.
Well, I've heard that also. But, you know, Kate, everybody says, you know, when you hire an employee, you want them hungry, you know. Maybe that's how you find the hungry ones, you know, is to put it on a pizza box. I mean, you look at the people that they hire, and they don't train them, they don't give them the right equipment, and all these kind of things. I mean, you can't expect to get the quality that you need by the way they get paid and the training they have and the equipment they have and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, advertising on a pizza box, well, you know, that's probably as good as any, you know.
Yeah, par for the course. And I'll tell you what, when we talk about these extras and paying more, I would pay more if I knew that was going into a fund to get, like, ex-cops to who could be there at security, or people who knew, had been trained in looking at people, at observing certain things. That would be the right, I think that'd be the right kind of people to have.
The problem is that they don't want people that can do that, that can look at somebody and look for characteristics and things that might indicate a problem, because they might be construed as profiling, and heaven knows we can't possibly put up with that. And plus, in fact, what you may not realize is that when you buy an airline ticket today and for the last six number of years, some of that money in that ticket goes to the government for a fund to improve airport safety, among other things. And, of course, none of it has, but that's what it's for.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, Denny, always a pleasure to have you come on the show. We appreciate your insights. You take care.
Thank you, Kate.
All right, so you heard what Denny said. I mean, this is a guy who flew Braniff and has flown in all kinds of aircraft, and you know, every time he comes on and we talk about safety, I just shake my head, because you know, he knows about the way it used to be, and it's crazy what's happening now. So while all this is going on with the chicken and the gas tank when we're flying, you have the Spirit Airlines CEO defending the crazy fees that they're lopping onto people and pretty much saying, look, bags aren't essential for vacations. It brings new meaning to just come with the clothes on your back. Coming up, we've got odds and ends. Hang with us.
Your own, eh? Me too. And you better keep rolling with the best, rollingpapers.com, the best site on the web with over 1500 products. Whether hemp, rice, flax, or pulp, we've got your rolling papers. For store owners, rollingpapers.com has wholesale pricing and display boxes. papers, tubes, filters, rolling machines in hundreds of brands, sizes, and styles. Hey, try the new Big Bag brand, available at rollingpapers.com. We are centrally located and quickly package and ship daily to anywhere in the world. Adult consumers can buy one individually to sample, or for the best prices, select any of the wholesale displays available direct from the pros at rollingpapers.com. No minimum purchase required, and a friendly, helpful staff. You won't believe the selection and great pricing at rollingpapers.com. Retail, wholesale, import, and export. Keep rolling your own with rollingpapers.com.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel from Midas Resources. It is becoming painfully obvious the Washington bailout is running out of steam and the economy is showing signs of a double-dip recession. As you know, government spending is at an all-time high and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are majority of your assets tied up in the stock or bond market? If so, are those assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain, having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless, and they'll protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, at 800-686-2237, extension 108, and I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108. You worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter Kronschnabel at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Protect your freedoms and be independent by learning how to maintain, repair, and customize your own firearms through these exclusive video training courses on DVD from the American Gunsmithing Institute. Call and get a free 2-hour sampler DVD video and catalog. See just how quickly and easily you can learn firearm disassembly and reassembly, accurizing, customizing, super tuning, refinishing, trigger repair, and much, much more for rifles, pistols, and shotguns. Courses available for both the hobbyist and the professional. You can even get certified as a gunsmith to make money part-time, full-time, or as a retirement income doing what you love. Call 1-800-247-5032 to order your free sampler DVD and catalog. That's 1-800-247-5032. Call now and get a bonus $10 saving coupon. 1-800-247-5032 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Learn how. Learn now with AmericanGunsmithDVD.com, your source for how-to gunsmithing videos.
All right, topping odds and ends, a couple of quick housekeeping things. In other words, follow-ups to stories that we've talked about a lot here on America Tonight. You know, the whole stuff with Toyota, how much money they paid out and how many different recalls that they've faced in this past year, in the past 6 months. Now the government says that they haven't reached any conclusions about whether Toyota drivers may be to blame for why their cars suddenly started accelerating. Remember, that problem was the big one. That led to the millions and millions of cars and trucks that were recalled. So the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration released that statement basically saying, we don't know. We haven't decided that they're continuing to investigate what the causes were and why they were accelerating. And, you know, who are they working with? They're working with scientists, researchers, and with NASA. They're working with people from NASA. Well, we kind of mothballed the space shuttle program, so we have a few good men to work on the Toyota problems. No, I'm just kidding. But really, they are using some NASA people. Anyway, what the tests have shown so far is that they can't come up with enough data to draw the conclusions they need. So they're just following the facts and letting them go where they may, because this was a huge recall altogether. If you looked at the separate recalls that they had, almost 9 million cars, and really that includes trucks worldwide since the faulty accelerators and the floor mats. Boy, that's the worst too. Imagine the floor mat catching the gas pedals, then you and you're panicked. And then that's what people did. Instead of throwing it into neutral or whatever, the panic sets in. And there was problems with the Prius hybrids. And, you know, they've had all kinds of problems. And the acceleration might have involved the deaths of close to 100 people over the past decade. So the thing that Toyota was really guilty of, though, was not getting back to their customers. You know, you're that customer who almost slammed into the tree. You're furious. You're shaking. You get to the phone. You don't know what's happened. You call the mechanic, and they don't know what it is. You call, and you call, and you call, and you don't get the answers, and you don't get the callbacks. And that's what started to happen, and they waited so long to finally handle it. So it's not a surprise, I guess, that there's no solid conclusions yet. And then once the recall happened and the lawsuits were announced, there was the problem of a lot of people stepping forward to come, you know, to try to pull the sham, to come forward and say, well, this happened to me, too. Too late. So we move from that follow-up to the Senate hearing finally on the calendar for the intelligence chief. And this is a big one. You know, Dianne Feinstein's been all over this because this is going to be ugly, I think. This might be a C-SPAN moment that's worth watching. Much better than desperate house broads of wherever, Washington, New York, or one of the cities that they're in. I think they're like five or six cities. I have no idea. But anyway, it's going to be juicy is what I'm trying to say. So Obama, if you remember, nominated a retired Air Force general, James Clapper, to be the next director of national intelligence. So the hearing's scheduled for July 20th. And once he nominated him, then all of a sudden you started to hear all this negative stuff come out of the woodwork from a couple of different people that didn't like the idea of Clapper and don't think that he's the right guy for this position. And as it stands now, they're obviously going to be talking about this guy is overseeing 16 at least intelligence agencies. So how big is it to have somebody who can wrap their arms around it if you're really talking about somebody that can handle the gig? Because obviously what happened to the previous guy, Dennis Blair, he stepped down because he was sick of getting blamed for everything that was happening. Plus, things fell through the cracks. I mean, you know, let's face it. He was certainly slaughtered for what happened with Abdullah Mutallab, the Christmas Day bomber. Why? How did that happen, and how do things fall through the cracks there, and you're the ultimate overseer and whatnot? So we'll see if Clapper ends up getting all the way through and officially gets the position. And, you know, they're talking about now they're not ruling out putting a hold on the nomination, depending on how he responds to these early rounds of questions at the hearing. I guess it's next week, because that would be the 20th. And if that happens, then it could be confrontational for sure, because Clapper's that kind of guy. He's very, very blunt, and he doesn't back down. So unlike what we just saw with Elena Kagan for the Supreme Court justice position, where she made jokes and didn't take the bait and was criticized for just being vague and not adding anything to the conversation. Remember, she got slammed a couple of times for that. This guy is going to be the opposite. And he's not going for justice. It's a different position. But trust me, it's going to be must see C-SPAN TV. I know I'm already going to be watching it for sure. I'd watch it anyway. But I definitely will, because I think that something will come out of this. All right, at the top of the hour, when I set the table a little bit, I talked about one of the most ridiculous things I think I saw on the day. And it's funny, I have noticed these signs. And for some reason, I didn't really think much about it. I don't know why. I've seen two of them. But then I find out that $20 million has been spent on stimulus signs. So what you'll see is if you're driving down the road in Pennsylvania somewhere where you might be listening to us, or Connecticut or whatever, you'll see a green sign that says project funded by the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. So it's something going on the highway. And then there's the orange sign above it, like connected to it, putting America back to work. Okay, great. Well, to spend $20 million, I don't know, on those signs when we're looking for every penny we could possibly scrape up, does that seem like we need to spend money on those signs? You know, it's to me, that's just another example of government waste. We don't need it. I understand it because it's a political a sort of a political layup. All right, hey, you don't think we're doing anything? Well, let me just show you. Here's all the things that we're doing, just so you know. Like, for example, if you were going to Dulles Airport outside of D.C., there's a 10-by-11 road sign that, you know, talks about runway improvement projects that were funded by the federal stimulus. And the project costs $15 million and has created 17 jobs. But what ABC, because I think they were the ones who broke the story originally, so let's give credit where credit's due, they came up with, they started to ask about how much the signs were. And, who thinks of that? But, yeah, of course it costs something. So that sign, those signs, leading into the Dulles Airport, $10,000 to tell you that this is your stimulus at work. And then the state of Illinois, they spent $650,000. And I double-checked on this in Pennsylvania. They've got almost 1,000 signs. And they've spent $157,000 on at least half or more of those signs. So then you've got Virginia, Vermont, and Arizona, and they're not sanctioning those signs. They're not doing that. They have some of the stimulus working in different projects, but they're not putting the signs up. You just have to ask yourself, is this really worth it? I mean, they're small signs, and what's the average of what they cost? I don't know. Maybe they're saying it's, you know, 12,000 on average, depending on the state. So every state was different for however many signs they put up. But is it really necessary? Can you get some school kids to make it like their project, where in the airport or at the site they paint on a poster board, tax dollars at work, stimulus working, or whatever? Just have a contest in the community. You could certainly, I think, do something better with the money. I don't know. You might not see it that way. I actually had this conversation with somebody earlier, and he didn't agree with me. He said, you know what, maybe it makes people feel good. Maybe it makes them feel like it is working and that, yes, this is costing us money, so at least we know that somebody's getting a job and it's helping. Maybe it's helping the morale of some people. I think there's better ways to help the morale, because there's still so many people that are out of work. How much are they getting paid to do the signs? I mean, there's your other question. If they're paying someone to do the signs, I guess that's part of the stimulus too. But how ridiculous. How ridiculous to throw that money into the wind. Whew. Hey, coming up next, very excited about our next guest. He was on with us before, Nick Popovich. He's a former Marine. If you remember, he was injured in Fallujah by a rocket strike. And now he's running for Congress, and he was blindsided in a much different way. I mean, everybody knows when you get into politics, you have to have a thick skin. But I think it was hitting below the belt what one newspaper did when they printed a cartoon of Nick with a patch over his eye, asking all kinds of crazy questions. We're going to talk about that next on America Tonight.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
I'm told that it has everything.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Yes.
If you suffer from poor sleep,
you've got to try MyPillow.
Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose?
Except poor sleep.
Go to MyPillowShop.com, mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow, for the rest of your life.
Is there a favorite radio station or show that you just love and can't stand to miss? Then you need Replay AV. With Replay AV, you can set up your PC to record your favorite radio shows, podcasts, XM and Sirius radio feeds, even streaming video automatically. More than one favorite? No problem. Replay AV can simultaneously record multiple shows and stations. You never have to miss any of your favorite programs again. Replay AV comes with a built-in media guide to make it easy to find your favorites and a convert for playback in any of the popular formats, or burn to CD or DVD. With Replay AV's easy recording wizard, you'll be set up to record quickly. And Replay AV comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Try it, then buy it at replayav.com. GCN listeners save $10 off the retail price by going to replayav.com or click on the Replay AV banner on gcnlive.com. Visit replayav.com. Stream it, record it, keep it with Replay AV.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Once again, I really like this guest. We had him on to talk about his book, Nick Popovich. He's a former Marine who truly was blindsided by a rocket strike and in Fallujah. And for his heroic efforts, he got the Silver Star. Now, I love this guy. What a patriot. He's running for Congress in California's 51st District against Democratic incumbent there, Bob Filner. And we talk about politics and the rough and tumbleness of it all and, you know, hey, the gloves are off, and we all get that, I think. But there was this crazy thing that was brought to my attention that was in the Imperial Valley Press newspaper. You can look it up. You can Google it so you can see the cartoon for yourself. And I'm going to post on our website, too. It's just disgraceful. It's an editorial cartoon. And in the cartoon, they're mocking Nick, who's running for this seat. And like I said, we know about fair game. But what's the media thinking there when they go after a veteran's wounds? What's the point of proving that? And so Nick, who had the patch over his eye, I'm just going to paint the picture for you so you know what it looks like because this is radio. And you got two kids on a skateboard, and you've got this poster of Nick. It says, for Congress. And the one kid says, the James Bond supervillain, the bald pirate, Uncle Fester with an eye patch. And then you got another kid who says, who does that remind you of? Please. And so we usher in Nick Popovich from our virtual green room. Nick, thanks for coming back on ATN. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You know what? I think that's true. You expected that you'd have a fight when you decided to jump into the fray and run for office, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I knew that it's going to take a thick skin and all that. So, I mean, the story of the cartoon's actually kind of funny all the way around. We had a town hall, the citizens of the Imperial Valley down in Brawley and El Centro, they set up these town hall debates between myself and the incumbent, Bob Filner. His campaign accepted, we obviously accepted, because we want to get out and debate the ideas and make sure people know what they're getting on election day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 3 days before the town hall, the incumbent backed out. So we went out there anyway, and we held both of them, and it went great. We were out there for 5 hours taking all questions. I wouldn't leave either hall until every citizen there got an answer to his or her question. And, you know, it was fantastic. And then, you know, so I heard about this cartoon before I seen it. They said, somebody ran a nasty cartoon of you in the Imperial Valley Press. Who didn't cover the debates? And then I thought, okay, well, somebody in there must have not liked something I had to say or something like that. And I had this, you know, I was kind of racing through my mind of what, you know, what it could be. And then I seen the cartoon. So I was actually a little bit relieved that it's just making fun of the way I look, because I think, okay, must not have had a problem with anything I had to say, you know. So my platform must be pretty solid. So I took it as a compliment of sorts.
Well,
then,
you know,
everybody got pretty wound up about it, because,
yeah,
you know, at the end of the day, what the cartoon is doing, though, is basically it's not attacking a position. It's not attacking anything. It's just kind of poking a little bit of fun at my wounds. So, you know, from my perspective, I got a thick skin. You know, I've been hit by worse. I've been hit by a rocket, so a cartoon's certainly not going to hurt me. But, you know, from a veteran's perspective, if we allow this sort of thing to be okay to poke fun at veterans, you know, not so much for me because I'm in the political arena, but, you know, for my brother and sister veteran, I think we need to say this is unacceptable, and we did. And to the incumbent's credit, he did also. He came out and said this is unacceptable. So the editor of the paper, he writes a... He calls me up with an apology because he got blasted from the veterans out there all across the nation, blasted him pretty good. And so he calls me with an apology, and he says, well, no, I didn't see it that way is what he says. He says, I saw it as two uninformed youth. He says, I was trying to make a statement about the uninformed voters, the uninformed constituency out here in the Imperial Valley. And I said, oh, okay, you're not making fun of the veterans. You're making fun of your readers. Well, you know, if that's a story you want to go with, go ahead and good luck. You know, I don't know if that's really any better. I thought, you know, before when I thought it was just a shot at me, I wasn't offended at all. But if you're calling the people of my district, my fellow citizens, if you're calling them stupid and uninformed, you know, then I have a little bit of a problem with that. The folks in the Imperial Valley, they're great people. It's a great community. I mean, if you know it out there, it's desert land. And they've taken it and they've turned this desert into a breadbasket. It's farmland now. It's agriculture. They've taken the Colorado River. They've irrigated this through a series of irrigation canals. And it's a booming farmland out there. It's full of tough people, full of survivors, full of just great Americans. And they're very informed. The politics out there is always very clean. Democrats and Republicans could, you know, stand right out in the middle of the street and debate the ideas cleanly, civilly. Yeah, it's a great place. I think the cartoon, whichever way you look at it, you know, is it two little guys? You know, I think the guy meant it to be one of them little guys urinating on my poster, and I don't really appreciate that, but, you know, whatever. And, you know, so if you want to take a shot at me, fine. I'd sure like to think you're going to focus on the issues, but if you take a shot at the citizens, I think you're very much mischaracterizing them.
Yeah, and I agree with you, too. Having spent some time there and lived in California for a while, I know that area well. The Imperial Valley Press, then, in talking to the editor and whatnot, and what he told you, which was even worse, but in a sense, which is hilarious.
I wasn't offended at all until his apology, and then that kind of bothered me a little bit, you know.
Yeah, no kidding. And this just happened over the weekend, too. That's when the cartoon was printed over the weekend. So they didn't formally, though, issue an apology or a retraction, right?
Well, he wrote a written apology in
he did.
Tuesday's edition.
Okay.
Tuesday's edition. And it said, you know, and you know, if you're going to apologize, you know, we all make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've made plenty in my life, and I'll make plenty more before I'm done. And, you know, and one thing Americans, this is something that always amazes me when people mess up in the public arena. You know, if you mess up, Americans are very forgiving people. We're great people. Just say, hey, I blew it. Sorry. And we'll forgive you. The public will always forgive you. But when you do this, I'm sorry, but here's all the you know, and then,
yeah.
And then, you know, then it starts to get a little bit, okay, You know, and I told him as a man to man, because he called me up and he apologized. So I said, sure, I accept it. You know, and then, you know, because, you know, I'm a man, I'm an honorable guy. If you call me up and offer an apology, I'll take it. But this written one, you know, with all the I'm sorry, but, you know, then, okay, now it's starting to get a little slimy.
Yeah, I agree with you. What made you decide to run? What fueled that fire inside you?
Oh, I love my country, and I'll tell you, all the liberties that everybody before me had passed down, that greatest generation that fought, you know, fought in World War II, and then it came home and built the greatest economy that this world would ever know. All that freedom, all that prosperity. I was born in 1967. I was born on the watch of those Vietnam veterans while they were out fighting the spread of communism in Southeast Asia. And I tell you what, everything that they've handed down to our generation, that chain of custody of liberty is on us. And if you look at the way our government's going right now, there's not an appreciation for the liberty and not appreciation for the prosperity that we've had the privilege of knowing. And that's not what I'm going to hand down to our kids and their kids, the next generation. Chain of custody. It's time to do something, not sit around and complain about it. General Mattis, my commanding general in the Marine Corps, had a great expression. He said, you ask a Marine to move a piano, he doesn't start by picking up the bench. So I decided to run for Congress. That's why I'm in it.
Yeah, good for you. So it sounds like, too, when you've decided to delve into this, I mean, you're all in, Nick. So you're just, I just get a sense that I know that you've immersed yourself in all the issues. Is that what you did?
Absolutely, because I'm not a lawyer by trade. I'm not a politician by trade. I'm a citizen. So absolutely, it takes a lot of studying for how to become a legislator. But I tell you, there's a great, great document that it seems that nobody up there has read, and that's the Constitution of the United States. That tells you everything you need to know. That Declaration of Independence, that tells you everything you need to know. And that's, I looked at my congressman, and I said, well, you know, what does a congressman do? Well, he needs to look and see, you know, does the constituency want this legislation? Do they need a piece of legislation? Is it constitutional? Is it moral? Is it ethical? Is it responsible? And I tell you, this Pelosi Congress isn't answering any of those right. And my congressman, Bob Filner, is just another example of that. He's right in there with all that. He follows that party line in lockstep. I mean, there's a couple. He's drifted off his party line, but that's to be more wacky than them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A couple times he's left the Pelosi, if you can imagine that. Mm. You know, and the people in this area deserve better. We deserve better representation. I'll tell you, it's an across the country thing. Look at that health care fiasco we just got.
Absolutely.
That thing only made it by a few votes. So all across America, you know, you may not be able to vote for me here in California, in California's 51st, but I can vote for you when I get on the Hill. So, I mean, this is something that affects everybody. Absolutely.
I agree with you. What's been the reaction when you've gone out to events and stuff? Pretty positive, because you're a new face on the scene, certainly.
Oh, very positive. People love the thought of a citizen running for government. It's very inspiring to them, because this is what the founding fathers meant. They didn't plan for career politicians. They expected it to be citizens who locked up their business, put their plow on hold for a couple years, went off, served their nation for a couple years in the federal government, and came home. Not these career politicians. I mean, geez, we've had four of them die in office. You know, this no way. I mean, look at John McCain, who was a great American, served this nation with honor. Mm. You know, and then look at the path he's gone down lately.
Yeah.
When you're up there on the Hill too long, you forget what it's like down
That's
here
right.
on Main Street. So the citizens, they love the thought of an everyday American out there representing them.
Yeah, well, good luck certainly in this fight, and we appreciate you clearing that up for us and coming on. We'll talk to you down the line, Nick, and see how it's going.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
All right, Nick Popovich, again, he's running for Congress, and he's got a book out, because this is what we talked about the first time we had him on. Once a Marine is the name of the book. It's a great read. I think I read it in one day. It talks about, you know, basically it's his story and what happened. It's a pretty honest tale where he talks about combat and recovery and all that sort of stuff. And he took rocket fire, and you heard him talk about this, which was what they were making fun of in the cartoon that was published in the local newspaper in the district where he's running in California. And I think that this is, I don't know if it's hit other media, but I think it's about to get bigger. There are other television people in New York and stuff that want to talk to Nick about what happened and his reaction to it and that kind of thing. It'll be fun to watch how far he goes in this race. And if he gets this seat, like he's saying, he is one of those people that is a citizen who's running. And you know, from all the frustrations out there, a lot of you in your neck of the woods where you are talking about change and what can be done. So good luck to Nick on that one. All right, coming up on the flip side, we've got We Can Count.
Now you can purify the water and filter the air in your entire house for less. Keep listening for discount information from airandaqua.com. Airandaqua.com has everything from whole house air and water purification systems to air conditioners, shower filters, water testing kits, atmospheric water generators, and much more to keep you and your family healthy. Now, airandaqua.com has developed two value-packed money-saving packages. Package 1, the Pure Whole Home Water Package. It includes three very important elements to purify the water in your whole house. Package 2, the Whole Home Air Package, with an ultraviolet light system that kills 99.9% of airborne bacteria and viruses. Get more details on both of these air and water filter packages at airandaqua.com or call 866-380-AQUA. That's 866-380-2782. GCN listeners use promo code GCN for an 8% discount. Go to airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Purify your life today. It's the number one reason for slow and clogged bath drains. That's right, hair. And the number one way to open drains plugged with hair? The drain clog. Stop standing in dirty bath water. Stop using dangerous chemicals. Just push the drain claw past the pop-up in your sink or tub, twist, and pull. You'll be shocked at what this little tool can pull out of your drain. The drain claw has over 100 tiny hooks that claw through hair, toothpaste, and shampoo that slows and clogs your drains. See how it works right now at thedrainclaw.com. The drain claw is made in the USA and is the safest, easiest, most environmentally friendly solution to unclog bath drains. Get one for $6.99 or three for $15. The drain claw can be used over and over. Don't be fooled by substitutes. Buy the original. Buy the drain claw. Order now at thedrainclaw.com. That's the drain claw at thedrainclaw.com.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Stan, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Yes, topping this edition of We Can Count here on America Tonight. You know, we have our friend Harry Rinker, the guru of all things collectibles, stop by twice a month. He's going to join us next week on the 21st, so mark your calendars. In the second hour of the show, second segment, you can call in and ask him about your stuff, your junk, the things that are underneath your bed or in your drawers somewhere that might be worth something. How about Roy Rogers' stuffed horse? Sells for more than $266,000. That's a big number for We Can Count. Yes, it's true. Christie says that Rogers' faithful companion was bought by a TV station in Omaha, Nebraska at an auction of items from the now-closed Roy Rogers and Dale Evans Museum in Branson, Missouri. So the CFO says the company hopes to start its own museum, and they're looking to buy more of this stuff. Rogers had Trigger preserved with taxidermy in 1965. The pre-sale estimate for the horse was $100,000 to $200,000, so they got the max and then some. Boy, that's a lot to pay for the horse, but there's only one Trigger. So they have trigger. And if they're going to do a museum, well, I guess that makes sense, doesn't it? That they can boast this is the only place you're going to get to see Roy Rogers' horse. But that's a pretty penny, I think, to pay for that item, let's say, for that horse. All right, we move along to something else and we can count that happened to catch my attention. And it was baseball. I like baseball. I'm a baseball fan. I grew up with baseball as a kid in Philly and New York before that. Well, the All-Star game we talked about on a previous show, it's just another All-Star game. They tried to make the All-Star game sexier by having the winning team, National League or American League, have home advantage in the playoffs once you got to the World Series. So the National League beat the American League 3-1, but Fox earned a 7.5 national rating and 13 share. Do you know that that's down 16% from last season's game? So not great ratings for the All-Star game. And, you know, the ratings they care about, and the reason they care about the ratings is because they got to pitch it to advertisers and pay so much for the rights, it'll pretty much you break even or just make a little bit on it. And when you're an executive with the Fox network, you want people to watch. So they tried to come up with new twists on what could attract people to watch, but I think they kind of missed the mark. And I don't know. I don't know what you do. You've got the contest, you have celebrities, you have all kinds of heartwarming stories. They did something on people that volunteer that I thought was great. It was like a 6-minute piece. But how many people really saw it? Not that many, because not that many were watching. And here's something for you to watch out for in case you have real little babies. The government took a huge, I mean huge, step by recalling Pottery Barn's drop-side cribs. Have you ever seen those? 82,000 of them. The Consumer Product Safety Commission proposed some new rules that would ban the manufacture, sale, and even the resale of the drop-side deal. What happens, or sadly what happened, and can you imagine this, is there were kids that would suffocate or be trapped in the crib and die. So when that started to happen, that V-like gap between the mattress and the side rail, they decided it was too dangerous, and I think that's a good thing. So now they're going to have this new crib standard after however many years. I think it's been probably 30 years. I haven't even heard them talk about this ever, but they've had so many tragedies in the past. So that's got to be a good thing. If you've got grandkids or you have kids, you know, if you have the next door neighbor, you happen to like the family and they've got kids, that's a good thing, because I cannot imagine what that would be like for a parent or a grandparent to come home and find that scenario happening all because of a crib. And, you know, that's what happens. They put the baby down, put those monitors up, and you might not know. You have no idea by the time you get to the crib. All right, so we move from We Can Count to Sam in Montreal. Hello, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Okay, right now the provincial government has just passed something here where parents who want to go for, you know, in vitro fertilization can have three treatments that will be covered by Medicare.
And wow. Wait. So you're saying that they can have fertility treatments for free?
No. Yeah.
Woo.
Only three of them. They're only allowed three, you know, if they can't conceive after three, then, you know, that's it.
That's incredible, though.
Yeah, because they want to, you know, increase the population of this hump.
So, yeah, people aren't having babies. There's not enough babies in Canada, so we've got to.
Well, no. There's not enough babies in the province of Quebec.
Oh, Quebec, yeah. Wow.
Right. Yeah, Ontario, well, we won't talk about them. That's another story. But some people think that's dangerous.
It is a little radical. I mean, you can,
yeah,
if you think about it, because then you talk about fertility treatments, and that can encompass a lot of different things. Then
right.
You have, is there a donor egg situation? Is it just a treatment of a man and a woman who are having trouble conceiving? I mean, there's a lot of kind of questions, too, about how
right.
how they get those three treatments, and that's expensive stuff.
Right, because, yeah, but then someone else was also saying, yeah, but if you're somebody with money, you can keep, you know, because it's like, I don't know what it is, I guess it varies from state to state, but here in Quebec, it's $10,000 a shot.
Yeah.
So, what, you know, what some people are wondering, okay, people with money can go to private clinics without waiting for an appointment, you know, through, normal channels. So, you know, that, like you said, some people said there was dangerous, and there is that shot, fine. I mean, let's say, you know, what, you know, if, I know Julie, you know, what, she doesn't want to have any more kids, but if, you know, what we're, and you know, what we'd be worried about, because we talked about it today, is what about birth defects?
Right. Then, and after a certain age, there's a much bigger increase of that. Even if you're very, very healthy, it has nothing to do with that.
Right.
So that's exactly what people would be concerned about. You know, they see the older actresses having babies, but what people don't realize is those are donor eggs a lot of times.
Right.
And they're healthy enough to carry a baby, but it's not, you know, so they're not risking quite as much on the birth defect side. But yeah, I think there would be some controversy. I guarantee in the next couple of weeks you're going to start to see stories and things pop up about that, and then
right.
The cost too, the cost that the state is absorbing, that Quebec is absorbing,
right,
by doing that, because like you said, it's very expensive. So normally people are paying for that, now they're absorbing that cost.
Right. Okay. Now, One joke, and then, you know, you've got other callers. George Steinbrenner, okay, he went up to heaven. The first thing he did, he fired Billy Martin. I guess you didn't hear that one?
No.
Yeah, I read it in today's New York Daily News, and you can picture Bob Shepard saying, now batting number three, Babe Ruth, you know, and stuff like that, so.
Yeah, can you imagine how many times did he fire him? That, when you think of George Steinbrenner, that's one of the major themes of his life. The struggles with Billy Martin, no question about it. That was a good way to end. Thanks, Sam.
You bet. Take care.
Okay, we're going to end on this quick note here. Larry King, however many decades, 25 years, he held that position at CNN with his talk show, and he's done as of some time in the fall. He's leaving, he's quitting. So now there's all this scuttlebutt over who's going to replace him, and in a way, who cares, except for 25 years is a long time to hold any broadcast position. What's really wild is this guy, Piers Morgan, a British guy, he's on some show called America's Got Talent. I've only seen promos for it because I don't watch that kind of stuff, but he's the front runner for King's job. So, and it's looking pretty good that he's actually the guy who's going to get it. How do you think he would do in this position with the American audience that has, I don't know, do they have that much familiarity with him? I guess that show, they would know him from that. But there was crazy names that came up. Ryan Seacrest, the guy who's also on American Idol, to jump into the position. But what do I know about programming television on CNN, especially because their ratings have just plummeted over the last couple of years. And no matter what anyone says, there's no question the numbers don't lie. Fox is the Mac Daddy of all the broadcast networks because they continually kill everybody else in the ratings, especially when it comes to pure talk. And King was their show that really landed them a lot of big ratings over the years, but they've struggled. So that 9 Eastern slot is a pretty big one for CNN, and they're struggling. They've had horrible prime time ratings. They've had the same problem at the 8 slot, too. Stay